Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. As we heard during our earlier segment with State Representative Greg Meyer, North Carolina's new state budget takes several necessary steps to keep K-12 schools functioning, but in many respects it comes up well short. A new report from the Public School Forum of North Carolina serves to emphasize this point, particularly the yawning gaps between what the budget actually does and the actions a state court judge recently ordered lawmakers to take in the longstanding Leandro school funding case. Earlier this week, I sat down with the forum's director of communications, Lindsay Wagner, to learn more about these gaps and how researchers say our schools will continue to lag for years to come unless there's a change of course. Well, Lindsay Wagner, welcome to News and Views. Good to have you with us.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, big developments in the world of public education lately. We have finally, after years really of delay, a new state budget. Y'all have produced at the Public School Forum of North Carolina a new analysis of the North Carolina state budget and what it does for education, what it doesn't do. Maybe you can give us sort of a big picture overview of some of your general takeaways from this new state budget.
For sure. Well, you know, as you mentioned, the budget was about 4 months late or 3 years late, depending on how you look at it. We have not had a new state budget for quite some time, and our children and our educators have really been suffering as a result. There are some good things in this budget that we really did need. It does include a provision that would hold local school districts harmless for any enrollment declines that they're experiencing thanks to the pandemic, and local school districts were really looking for that as a way to stabilize their budgets right now. There was some additional funding for school instructional support personnel, like your school psychologists, school nurses, school counselors, school social workers. And, you know, students' social and emotional learning needs are, you know, more
front and center than ever before.
Center right now, more than ever. And so we really needed those supports in this budget. But there's a lot of ways in which this budget falls short for public education. It really only funds about one half of something that we've been talking about for a while now, which is this Leandro funding case that calls for the next 2 years, around $1.5 billion in new school funding. This budget begins to address some of those needs, but doesn't go far enough. Another way in which this budget falls short is that it does not offer teachers salary increases that they need and deserve. It does offer an average 5% raise over the next 2 years, but when you peel back the layers and realize that it includes some already planned step increases, it's really only a 1.3% raise in each year of the biennium. And given that teachers haven't had a raise for years and that they are working harder than ever in conditions that are incredibly difficult, this sends the wrong message to our educators. And so we were hopeful that we could have done better in this regard. So that's just a few of the ways in which this budget addressing public education right now.
Let's talk about Leandro a little bit, because that's really one of the big elephants in the room. We've got, to remind our listeners, we've got a 25-year-old Supreme Court case that said that North Carolina school children, every child has a right to receive an opportunity to have a sound basic education. And we now have a judge who's presiding over the case who hired a firm to put pen to paper as to what that actually means, a consulting firm called WestEd. And they've come up with a very comprehensive plan for bringing our school system into compliance with the Leandro mandate. But it seems that the General Assembly, as you briefly alluded to, is not enthralled with that idea and has not decided basically that they're not going to comply.
That's right. And, you know, that court case has found multiple times over the past several decades that we have not done enough in North Carolina to adequately and equitably fund our classrooms. And so the parties to this case have come together and, like you said, developed a plan for investment, investing in a lot of different areas in the classroom and in the personnel that support our students. And the judge ordered some investments over the next 2 years. And I think he was hopeful that the General Assembly would then go ahead and make those investments by way of the budget. They did not. And so despite the fact that we have somewhere around $8 billion in surplus revenues right now to make those investments, we are not moving forward in an expeditious manner. And it's really concerning. And the budget was an opportunity to do that, and it fell short.
Yeah, I think that was what struck a lot of observers, was the fact that if ever there was a time in which the state was in a position to comply with such an order, thanks to the influx of federal funds and the fact that state revenues had actually come in higher than had been projected during the pandemic, there really was something that was easily within their grasp, something that lawmakers could have easily accomplished, but instead chose not to. Indeed, it looks like part of this new state budget will be a new round of tax cuts, actually targeted mostly at wealthy taxpayers.
That's right. One of the last things I wanted to point out about the budget, of course, is the fact that it includes tax cuts for North Carolina that will mean that we do not have access to the kind of revenue that we'll need to support our public schools in the years ahead. We do have that kind of revenue now, and it's really important that we invest those dollars in our public schools. We know that it has been too long that students have not had equal opportunity to access a sound basic education, and now is the time to make that a reality.
We're talking with Lindsay Wagner, who is the Director of Communications for the Public School Forum of North Carolina. Lindsay, another aspect of the whole debate over public education, people often think of it as just being K through 12, but obviously early childhood education and even post-secondary education, these are factors that have to be factored into our consideration of these funding issues in public education. Am I right about that?
Yeah. So going back to Leandro, once again, early childhood education is identified as another area in which we need to make much bigger investments. And things like NC Pre-K and Smart Start are really important programs that ensure that all children in North Carolina are able to be ready and able to learn by kindergarten. This budget still falls short of a lot of those targets. So we're just hopeful that moving forward, we can get to a place where we can make those investments happen.
Another area, I think you've already briefly alluded to it, but it's worth probably emphasizing, is the whole issue of, you know, the special personnel that we, in addition to just traditional classroom teachers, we have school psychologists and counselors and other special therapists who work with kids with disabilities. And it appears that the budget makes some new investments there, but again, not getting us really to where we need to be.
For sure. For years, our schools have grappled with really poor numbers of school instructional support personnel in the classroom. We simply are not able to hire and keep the numbers that we need. Many schools often share a school nurse or a school psychologist. This budget does make some important investments in terms of some compensation increases and incentives to attract those personnel. So that was really great to see. However, we need to go a lot farther and meet some of the targets that are outlined in the Leandro Comprehensive Remedial Plan.
I guess as we take a final look at the picture, we're talking again with Lindsay Wagner, who is the Director of Communications for the Public School Forum of North Carolina. This budget that the General Assembly has enacted, certainly better than what we had, but a long way short of what we need and what the Constitution requires and what a judge has ordered that our Constitution requires. Where would the forum like to see us go from here? Is it your hope that there will be some sort of an enforceable order, perhaps, maybe by the state Supreme Court directing the General Assembly to act? Or do you still hold out hope that maybe the General Assembly will finally realize the error of its ways and just decide to comply with the Leandro mandate without a direct order from a judicial authority? What's your hope? What's your expectation going forward?
I think our hope is that all of our state leaders recognize the importance of investing in a really strong system of public education. Not only is it good for our children today, but it's good for the future of our state and our workforce. You know, so I'm hopeful that our state leaders and the General Assembly decide that now is actually the time to lean on that $8 billion surplus revenue and invest those funds in our children today. That's certainly my hope. If that does not come to pass, then there are other mechanisms in place that could potentially direct those funds to our classrooms, and that would be great. But, you know, it's my hope that our elected leaders decide that now is the time to invest in our public schools.
Lindsay Wagner is the Director of Communications for the Public School Forum of North Carolina. You can read more on their website, which is ncforum.org. Is that right?
That's right.
ncforum.org. Check them out. They've got just reams of outstanding research and analysis that can tell you all you need to know about the debate over public education in our state and what needs to be done. Lindsay, thanks for your fine analysis. Keep up the good work. And we'll hope that the General Assembly does the right thing and we talk again in 2022 about some of these successes.
Thank you so much.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can check us out online and subscribe for free to some of our state's best news coverage and political commentary at ncpolicywatch.com. You can also listen to all of our interviews and commentaries on Apple Podcasts. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.